This story, and I trust you'll correct me if I don't have my facts straight, starts in the late 80s, early 90s when you first joined NIH, and treatments for AIDS and HIV were pretty limited, just one drug, really, AZT, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the time I came to NIH in 1989, there were over 2,000 new pediatric HIV infections a year in the U.S., and 25% of infected mothers passed the infection to their infant, and mortality in children who became infected was 25 to 30% by the age of 1 year.
Mm. And that drug, AZT, as I understand it, was used up until that point just to delay the onset of AIDS in adults. And your innovation really was to use it to stop the transmission of HIV from mother to child. What gave you that idea, and why was it controversial at the time?
Well, I think, you know, HIV was a really horrible disease. I remember when I first started at NIH, I went and took my family to the mall to see the AIDS quilt. And as I was walking on the mall, I saw a quilt from a young child that I had just seen die at the NIH Clinical Center a few weeks ago. So figuring out how to change this became really a calling for me and many people working in HIV. The anti-HIV drug zidovudine was given to the women while they were pregnant, starting after the first trimester of pregnancy, and also to their infants. And giving a drug to pregnant women was very highly controversial. But we had a fatal illness that was being transmitted from mother to child, and therefore we thought that this was our really only chance to see if we could prevent transmission. And because the drug acted by reducing the amount of virus, we thought that that might act to prevent the transmission from mother to child.
And you did all this through starting a clinical trial there. How long did it take before you realized you were really onto something?
Well, this was a trial that was conducted in collaboration with NIAID, and the first data and safety monitoring board evaluation that looked to see whether the trial was effective and whether things were safe was actually President's Day weekend, February 1994, because I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped the trial early because AZT had reduced transmission by an amazing 70%, much more than any of us had thought we would be able to see.
But at that point, if I've got the timeline right, it still was not approved by the FDA for that use, right?
Oh, that's correct. Following the trial, I led a department group to move these research findings into clinical practice, and we published initial guidelines in the MMWR within 2 months in April, and formal guidelines only 4 months later in August. And then we worked with multiple agencies in the department to rapidly implement them, including the FDA to obtain drug approval, with Medicaid to provide drug availability, with the Centers for Disease Control to promote universal HIV testing in pregnancy. And within a year, in our epidemiologic studies, we saw transmission in the U.S. decrease from over 20% to 5 to 8%.
That's amazing.
It was quite amazing.
And by that time, when you were fighting for FDA approval, was it still a controversial subject just because of the stigma around giving drugs to expectant women? Or had it proven itself so effective by that point that the controversy melted down?
Well, I think both the amazing efficacy of preventing mother-to-child transmission and the fact that at least short-term safety was shown in the trial, that there were no real differences in adverse events between the placebo group and the AZT group. So that was very reassuring that it was safe. And then, of course, we had this fatal illness that was being transmitted from mother to child, and now we had a way to prevent that. So I think the controversy faded once we had that amazing amount of efficacy.
One thing I wonder is how you achieved getting this into such widespread use for a drug that, if I remember correctly, in the 80s was something like $10,000 per patient. Did those costs come down over time, or how did you manage that, just given the extraordinary cost of this drug?
Yeah, the costs did come down, but remember, many of the patients with the women with HIV are very poor, and they were covered through Medicaid, and Medicaid had arrangements in terms of the cost of the drug.
You alluded to some of the numbers before, 1,600 infections of children per year back in the 80s, down to about 300, I'm sorry, down to about 150 now.
Right.
Obviously a huge success story there. What to you is sort of the next frontier in AIDS, HIV research when it comes to your field, which is pediatric, adolescent, and maternal AIDS?
Sure. Well, there are a number of things, but certainly the issue of mother-to-child transmission in developing countries is critical.
Mm.
And in developing countries where breastfeeding is essential for infant survival, transmission rates were as high as 40 to 50%. That's one of every two mothers transmitting to their infants. And hundreds of thousands of children were continuing to be infected each year. And our international research after the 076 trial then focused on how could we prevent breast milk transmission of HIV. And a number of studies have recently demonstrated that giving antiretroviral drugs either to the breastfeeding infant or to their mother can reduce breast milk transmission to under 2%. So that is quite an amazing feat, and what we now need to do is implement this. And working with the World Health Organization, we have developed guidelines to bring, or hopefully bring, the success that we've seen in the U.S. to the developing world. And as a result of this research done at NIH, UNICEF and WHO are now calling for the elimination of new pediatric HIV infections by 2015, something that I never would have envisioned be possible in 1989.